It's the Playhouse Podcast with Kat and JJ on demand, even if you're on the can.
Dude, come on.
How would you feel if your daughter is about to graduate college and says, no, Mom, I'm making $200,000 a year on the pole. I don't think I'll use my degree. That's going on with one of our listeners, and we'll get to it a little bit later on in the podcast. Let's go.
Bingo. How fun.
Last week, someone lost an eye at bingo.
Bingo.
Bingo what bingo?
Bingo.
Bingo. This is the part of the show where we go fishing for one of your great stories, and here's how listener bingo works. Hopefully, you can give us an amazing story because you're somebody listening who
has done anything extreme. And by extreme, I would say bungee jumping. I would say jumping out of a plane. Both of those are things that don't interest me at all. They're not on any list I have. But this YouTuber, Anthony Vella, he was recording himself flying his motorized paraglider. And he was like, he's going nearly 50 miles per hour. And then something went wrong with his, what is it called? What
the heck? Kind of the canopy.
Yeah. And you could see it snap. And then he just falls to the ground.
48 miles per hour. Come on, baby.
Do you know where you're at?
I'm in Enchanted Hills. I'm in the desert.
This guy, what did I see? He broke his neck.
His backbone.
Yeah.
Like arms, legs, everything. So it's not a stunt. It's not like that guy that was flying that Cessna and then just let it go into the side of a mountain.
Yeah, I don't think this guy wanted to almost die.
Yeah.
So you're looking for anyone listening who is into extreme stuff.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with anyone listening who only goes by a nickname. It's really, really sad, but a classmate of mine in high school, his father had passed away, and somebody had commented on, you know, hey, sorry you lost your dad. He was a good man.
Yeah.
And right away, somebody else goes, what's up, Beaker? And I gave this kid his nickname in sixth grade because he reminded me of Beaker from the Muppets. He had just moved to town.
Yeah.
And that's what, the first thing I said. I said, hey, you're new. And he goes, and I go, what are you, Beaker from the Muppets? That has stuck with him now for the better part of 40 years.
It's not because he has a long rectangle-sized head or anything? Okay.
So I want to know, are you somebody today who really only goes by a nickname?
Last week, someone lost an eye at bingo.
Bingo.
Bingo what bingo?
Bingo.
Bingo! Listener Bingo is a segment where every morning you get to tell us a little bit about your life, but we're looking for specific things. Like maybe you're somebody listening who
has done something extreme, base jumping, jumping out of a plane, bungee jumping, all have elements in it where you could die.
I get to 60, I'd like to skydive again.
Why are you going to wait till then?
I don't know. I just feel it's something that like you can have on your radar, right? You can look forward to.
Why don't you do it every decade? You did it when you were...
It's a long time ago when I did it the first time.
Yeah, in your 30s.
Yeah, really? I would do it again. I'm just really busy right now.
Okay.
And I'm looking for anyone listening who only goes by their nickname. Like you were given a nickname a long, long time ago, and that's kind of what people know you by. So, Kelsey, who's going to get the bingo here, Kat or myself?
You are.
Oh, now we know that your name is Kelsey, but what does everybody call you?
Well, it's not actually me. It's a coworker of mine.
Okay.
And his name is Jake, but he wanted to be called Dragon.
Like on Step Brothers?
You can't make people call you something. This has to be developed on its own.
I have no idea how it came about for him, but I interviewed him, and it was like a new hire. Okay. I interviewed him, and he said that his name was Jake, and he came in, and he was like, I'd like it if you would call me Dragon.
And you hired him?
I mean, yeah. But then he went to go get his, like, emergency credit or some type of a thing to be, like, a firefighter or EMT or something like that, and he put on his application that his actual name was Dragon.
Okay.
And I'm like, you can't do that. I mean, he's clearly no longer working for me, but...
Now, what did he have any personality traits or physical traits that would make you go, oh yeah, Dragon is a good nickname for you?
Absolutely not.
Okay. He just wanted to appear probably a little tougher than he was?
I maybe or majestic. I don't know.
Yeah. I want to be looked at as majestic one.
Game
day.
Of Thrones messed everybody up, man. Everybody got their head got all weird about the whole thing. So you hired Dragon. Dragon no longer works for you. Do you know what Dragon is up to right now?
I do not.
Would it be safe to say he couldn't go within 500 feet of a school?
Possibility.
Okay,
yes.
All right. Thanks for sharing, Kelsey. Have a great morning.
Let it be known, though, that you cannot give yourself a nickname. All right. There's nothing more thirsty than somebody making people call them a nickname that you gave yourself. It has to be given to you for a reason.
I had a guy that I played pool with for a long, long time when I go into the city, and he always wanted to be called Brody.
Okay. And what was his name?
Tadette.
His name was Tadette?
Yeah.
Oh.
His dad had owned the pool hall, and he was a Vietnamese orphan.
Oh, okay.
Who was adopted, and because I remember somebody calling, I think it was his dad, going, Tadette. Mm-hmm. And he turned and I go, I thought your name was Brody. He goes, I just don't like that name.
Oh.
And I was like, who gave you the name Brody? And he's like, I did. I picked it out.
Well.
And I'm like, is that different than giving yourself a nickname?
That's a real name, though. It's not a nickname.
Oh, so a nickname can't be a real name? So you
right.
Can't okay, so a nickname can't be like
Steve-o. Okay. So Liam is a friend who was born a Carson, but he just feels like he identifies more as a Bill. And so he makes everyone call him Bill.
So you think that's thirsty?
No,
yeah,
it's cute because he's 11.
Oh,
I was talking to Derek and he said, so payday's coming up. Can I get $100 because I want to go to, oh my God, what's the store right by? It's an orange sign.
Oh, is it the one David Spade does the commercials
yes.
for? I don't.
It's a cool place.
Yeah,
it's got
I've
everything
never been in there,
but they have, I guess these cargo shorts.
Oh no.
Thank you. That's exactly what I said.
There's not enough cargo.
I said it just like that.
To go around for more men to be wearing the shorts.
I think I'm just like, I have bad core memories of cargo anything. My dad had too many pockets growing up and he would just lose stuff. And we were talking about it this weekend when we went out to dinner. I said, Dad, do you remember that cargo like fisherman's vest that you wore to Tijuana on our family vacation?
Oh, not fishing. He actually wore it in public?
All the time,
oh, no.
Everywhere, because he had a pocket for, he had some mints in this one, keys in this one. And the men with rifles get on the bus before you enter Tijuana, before you cross the border. And they're serious men.
Well, what a wholesome family vacation, first off.
Listen, really cheap Nike stuff down there. But they said, sir, do you have your passport? He goes, it's in one of these pockets. If you could guess which one. My mom was like, Greg, they're not joking with you. Nobody is joking at all in this bus. And he was just like, point to which one. And so I have like really, really bad memories of cargo anything. I don't think you need that many pockets. And I tried to tell him, and he wants to get multiple pair because they have a different kind of fabric to them that he likes.
Yeah.
They're not like the hardcore khaki, weighed down, sink to the bottom of a lake type of fabric, but I'm like, too many pockets.
Successfully purged my entire wardrobe of anything cargo to our friends at Goodwill over the last, decade or so. My wife made the statement early. She's like, there's no more cargo.
Yeah.
And that was it. It was all in a plastic bag the next day.
We just had 2 dozen texts. Sierra is the store,
oh,
by the way.
That's it, yeah.
And they have really cool stuff in there. I could spend too much time, too much money in that store. But I want you guys, so he can look back at this texting thread when he gets to work and just say yes to the cargo shorts or no to the cargo shorts, because I need some support. Maybe just one pair.
And if you say yes, include why. There has to be something linked to one of your core memories.
Yeah, that you love them, you wear them.
You love them more than Kat hates them.
He just doesn't like the men's shorts that are so short, like this style he thinks are too short.
I got ribbed on by the baseball team, my coach, for wearing the really nice day. They're like, Coach, those are too short. And I'm
you
just
wear
above,
short shorts.
They're just above the knees, man. Like, that's where they're supposed to be. It's crazy because I've got my kids go, Dad, those are too long. And then the kids I coach, they'll go, Coach, those are way too short.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you got to give me a happy medium here, guys.
He has legs to pull off shorter shorts like that. But these ones would, I think, make his legs look really stubby because they're like long from back in the day at like Abercrombie length.
I just can't imagine okaying the cargo shorts right now if you're in a relationship. Back in the 80s or the 90s, you used to be able to take your landline and call 1-900-9099-CRY and basically just cry if you wanted to or hear other people crying.
What makes people all over America break down and cry like this? Call 1-900-9099-CRY.
So it just kind of like you eavesdrop on other people's big, big problems.
Well, it's $2 a minute just to cry to somebody. That's a sad spot for me to hear that people didn't have anybody else. They had to pay somebody.
Well, now nobody knows if they were really doing this or if this phone company was just, you know, cash and checks.
Horrible.
But I was able to dig up with the help of a friend a whole bunch of other numbers that maybe you had dialed back in the day. Now, most of us probably got caught up in the texting. Did you ever text when you saw on MTV? Are you and your boyfriend compatible? Did you ever do that?
No.
No? So I'd see those commercials all the time and I'd wonder who's doing that. Well, these are some of the real fringe 900 numbers you used to be able to call back in the day. Tell me whether or not you'd use this one, Catch.
Has this ever happened to you?
Hey, baby, you come here often? That used to happen to me until I started calling the pickup line. Now I've got more girls than I can handle. The pickup line taught me where to meet girls, how to meet them, and what to say. And most importantly, 976 Guts gave me the guts.
Oh, my God.
If you
want
to be popular with girls.
976 Guts.
You guys really gave me the guts to go for all those girls.
I was such a loser till I found out how to pick up chicks. How about this one? I wonder how many guys listening used this line.
Big women are beautiful, too. Now there's a telephone date line, especially for big women and men who want to meet them. Dial 1-900-230-4000. Best of all, you'll get real names and phone numbers and find out how to place your own personal ad. So if you're a big woman or if you're a man who loves big women, call 1-900-230-4000. $2 first minute, $1 each additional, adults only.
How many guys were in a phone bill $75 deep and never got a date with a big lady?
Thicker than a snicker.
This one I thought was kind of cool, too.
Bizarre encounters. Call and hear real people as they come face to face with. Bizarre encounters. Are they from next door or are they from... If you only make one phone call in your life, make it to Bizarre Encounters.
What is that for? Like if you see Bigfoot?
Yeah.
And you call and you say, you guys
alien,
won't believe it.
Right. It's basically something that would be non-believable to your friends. You have to tell everybody else about it.
I was in the woods. I left a Slim Jim and an Eau Claire.
And half a joint. I was in Wisconsin in the woods.
Yep.
How about this one? I know you're really into, the spirit world, Cat. You ever felt somebody put a curse on you?
My sister knows how to do that, by the way.
Really? Well, then you need this number.
Everything happens to me.
I'm broke. Can't pay my bills.
I think I'm cursed.
I'm just bad luck.
Stop. If you're tired of bad luck, if you think your life is jinxed, now you can change it with E. David Scott's curse removal. Call this number and follow simple instructions.
It really works. Within 2 days, I won this car in a drawing and $20,000.
Call and let positive forces instantly cast away the evil spirits that bring you bad luck. $1.95 per minute for entertainment only. Under 18, get permission. Call now and remove the jinx from your life.
Oh, my God. You know how many people
If that was real, I would spend $100 on that phone call right now.
And
if
get
I could
unjinxed?
Just remove all the jinxes going on in my life, that's worth $100 right now.
Yeah. I mean, that's the equivalent to how much money is spent right now. Like with CatFit, I was watching, I think it was the 5 o'clock news last night, and they had Nevon from Catfish.
Yeah.
And he was talking about how people spend on average yearly $1.2 billion to give to people that they've never met, that prince in Saudi Arabia that just needs a couple of bucks to get by until the weekend.
I just need a phone card and then I can FaceTime you.
It's been
something
happening
like
for a lifetime.
This one also was really, really popular back in the 90s.
You've made it through the day and you're about to break your diet. You have two choices and Diet Phone can help you make the right one. Day or night, Diet Phone will help you with the most important part of any diet, your willpower. You can win this battle with the help of Diet Phone.
You were about to reach for that bowl of ice cream right before you went to bed. Instead,
it's your food sponsor.
You called 1-900-DIET Phone and they talked to you out of it.
They virtually slapped you through the phone. They slapped that taco out of your mouth.
if we could set up a 1-900 phone line right now that would instantly make your life better if you spent $2.99 on your first minute, $1 each additional minute for entertainment purposes only, yeah. What would you call?
I would call a hotline where I can talk about coworkers.
You want a straight up, don't you do that in here during commercial breaks with me anyways? Is this not enough therapy for you?
Isn't that getting old? Don't you want to, you like it. I know you like it a little bit. You like that drama. I don't have drama. It's stuff that I notice other people having drama. And then I'm like, you're at work. This is work.
I would call daily the 1-900, get the hell off that machine sooner at the gym hotline. I would spend $10 a day if I knew that when I got done with this set, that person would get off that machine and I won't have to wait for them.
Yeah.
That would be easily worth $10 a day for me.
So I'm all about that Jinx hotline, though. If I know I could win $20,000 and a scratcher today.
And a new car.
Because a Wiccan out there, a white Wiccan witch,
threw the Jinx down you?
Yeah.
Wednesday during our live show, three more chances at the secret sound and $3,000 for you at 7:05. So we come with the cash Wednesday. Hopefully you can join us for the live show right now. We put a cap on the podcast.
Can you help me? Can you help me? Can you help me? Everybody!
Haley had reached out with I can't remember if it was a text or an email, but I was like, we have got to get this girl on the radio because as graduation approaches, I'm sure many of us are going to go through this. Tell us about your daughter, will you please?
She's about to finish from Arizona State. We're super proud of her.
Very cool. Sun Devil.
Nice.
You said in your email that the degree she has, she doesn't necessarily know if she wants to use it or not.
Yeah. She went into the sciences and, you know, it takes a while to make some money in that. And she currently right now actually makes $200,000 a year.
Wow. Doing what?
So that's, she's an entertainer of sorts. She works at night.
I got it. She's been doing this while she's in college?
Yeah, we talked about it, and as long as she was safe about it, I was okay. But, you know, now that we're finally at the end of the road where she's graduating, I mean, let's be honest, she's not going to make that much money anywhere else, especially cash.
Okay. So you're supportive of her dancing, making this money while she can, and then using her degree later. I'm telling you, people that take a gap year, they don't go back to normal life, especially after making that kind of money.
Was that an agreement? Like, hey, you can do this while you're in school, but when you have a degree, then we need to stop doing this? Was that ever a discussion?
I mean, that's kind of what I assumed, but I guess she didn't take it that way. I mean, my fault for not kind of explaining what I would have liked, but I didn't think it would go this far. I didn't think she would still be dancing at this point in time, and I also didn't think that, you know, the money would be that good.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of stuck in a rock and a hard place. I want her to be safe, but I also want her to be provided for.
Yeah. Man,
this one's tough. So you got $200,000.
I don't have anything against strippers.
So what would you do? Yeah, what would you guys do in this situation if this was your daughter? I'm stuck. I don't know what to do.
I've never had an issue with strippers. I think that it is a very hard job if you think about it. If you're one of those good strippers, you have endurance, you have sex appeal, and you're making money, like crazy amounts of money, that's very appealing, by the way. So
I think a lot of people, it has to depend on where your moral, ethical line is, right? Like if you don't have a problem with this, you know, morally or ethically, then it's hard to turn down a couple $100,000 a year.
I don't make these men come in here. And, you know, like I would be able to live with myself.
But the other part is like you got to look at, hey, you spent the last 4 or 5 years working towards this degree. Now you have it. But then the other person in my head, I got this like devil angel thing going on my shoulder.
Yeah.
Where I'm going like, well, you can always use your degree. You can only strip for so long.
But I would also say you got to hold yourself to a standard. If you're going to be making this money, you also have to be using your degree at the same time.
How?
So maybe have her during the day after she goes and gets a spray tan, gets her lashes filled. Just say you need to do something productive with that. Either go and work for a company for a few hours to keep your skills and brain going. You can't just strip.
Maybe. And this is okay. So I want to put you on hold for half a second, Haley. I want to get people's thoughts on this. Your daughter goes to 4 years of school. She gets her degree. And she says, for the next few years, at least, I'm going to dance and make a buttload of money.
Mm-hmm.
How do you handle that?
I would say, once again, that money is extremely appealing, but you will not have that body and skills forever.
So do it now?
Do it now, but also do, like I said, do it in tandem with what you want to do. You know, you could make it all happen.
Exit plan, something you have to have on the books, probably.
I think Leslie needs to call in. She has a different take on that.
I want to hear your thoughts on this, guys. Good morning. Talked to Haley a couple of seconds ago. The dilemma is her daughter is about ready to graduate from Arizona State and likely not going to be using the degree.
And she currently right now actually makes $200,000 a year.
Wow. Doing what?
So she's an entertainer of sorts. She works at night.
So as this conversation went on, we realized that she's dancing for money, right?
Goes to school. You spend all of your time learning about a career that you're about to get into, and then you just don't do anything with it. I think it's such a shame.
At $200,000 a year, it's hard to look the other way. Yeah. Amanda, if this was your daughter, she's 21 and she's like graduating, she's 22 and she says, I'm going to be a stripper. What do you say to her?
I would tell her, why not have the best of both worlds?
Yeah.
Work your science job during the week, and then on the weekends, do that, and then invest it. Save it. Spend it smartly, because it's not going to last forever.
I agree with you. Yeah, she could totally do both. And it's only going to benefit her when she's ready, because that world is not for the weak, and it doesn't last forever. And so when you are all done with that and you're ready for a big girl life and a big girl job, then she'll have something to fall back on. She'll have made those contacts all the while. So I agree with you.
Do you have kids,
exactly,
Amanda?
And then she'll have the experience too. I do. I have three.
And any of them girls?
The middle one is,
if she had this conversation with you in a few years, you'd be completely like, all right, you got to use your degree, but I don't mind you going to the strip club.
I would tell her I don't want to see you at the strip club, but you do what you need to do, but make sure you're being smart about it.
Yeah.
Look at you. Yep. You got
invest
it together.
It and save it. Don't go spending it on a purse that you think is cute for $3,000.
No. Eye on the prize. Eye on the prize.
I like that. You seem to have a pretty good take on this. Thanks for your call. I appreciate your thoughts this morning.
Thanks.
Take care. Hi, Allie. How are you feeling?
I'm good. How are you?
Good, good. What are your thoughts on this? If this was your daughter, what would you tell her?
As I just heard Amanda, what she said, I completely agree with everything she said. I was very much so going to say the same exact thing. I was someone who got a 4-year nursing degree, and I was bartending on the side. And once I got my degree, I continued to bartend on the weekends and then use my nursing degree during the week, and saved all the money that I made bartending and invested it and paid off loans and everything else that
Amazing.
I could.
Amazing.
There's an interesting angle here, though. Like, let's say she gets this job, and maybe she's working in, like, a laboratory or something like that, right? Like, using her science degree, and all of a sudden they find out that she's a stripper over at the King's Inn down the road. Do you think that could interfere with the daytime job? Is that...
Opinion-wise, and when it comes to, and Tammy had texted, society is generally not looking too kindly at strippers. Do people want their sons to date strippers? No. Professionals, do you want to be friends with a stripper? No. Which is extremely sad. Is she doing what she's got to do in the lab?
She's not out killing people or selling drugs to kids, you know what I mean? Like, this, the way I look at it is what you said before, Kat. I'm not the guy going in there. Like, I'm not making men go to these clubs.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, the doors are open, right? It's not like you're forcing somebody to do something to make your money.
Yeah. It's just sad.
Yeah.
Society does not compartmentalize. They don't say, oh, she's probably doing this to save money so she can invest in something later on. They're going to just see the downside of it, which is really sad, but she's got to know that.
Allie, go back to 22. If you could make $200,000 a year taking off your clothes, would have you done it?
Absolutely. Yeah. I would have.
If I had that bod back in the day and I had the stamina and I could lure people in and have them give me all their money.
The problem is you should see Kat in heels, though. She looks like a baby deer. She's all wobbly and everything.
I can last about 2 city blocks.
All right. Well, so probably a Def Leppard song.
Yeah.
You'd be good for one.
Then I call a rickshaw.
Thanks, Allie. Have a great morning.
What's trending? What's trending?
Trending, start to think about where you would want to go on your bucket list of travel. I always thought teachers were poor. I have been showed that is not completely true. I don't know her deal. Maybe she's not married. She doesn't have any kids, but her name is Lucy, and she's a second grade teacher from California. She just went all over the world visited all 193 recognized countries by the United Nations.
193 is the total that is recognized by most travel clubs because that represents the number of UN members who do vote. So every year I would plan a big trip. And so then my next trip was Australia, New Zealand. Then the next summer it was like a different part of Europe. Then it was Central America. And by the time I had taught for like 6-7 years, I think I was already like 50 countries.
There's no way she has a family.
Yeah.
You can't do that.
She sounds
very
young.
Can you?
I don't think you can. And I'm sure that she has learned how to do it on a budget. A lot of places around the world are cheaper than you would think to visit, but I have a good list of six that I want to go to.
To the very top.
Well, they're a little out of place. I would say Mykonos. Mykonos, Greece looks gorgeous. Alaska, Italy. I want to go back to Guam to see how it looks. Switzerland and Iceland. Those are mine. Can I ask why you're laughing?
Well, okay, so you said I have all these countries I want to go to, and you included Alaska in one of them. And I was like, you know,
well,
that's part
places,
of our country.
Then, not country, but I said places on my bucket list of travel.
I would want to go to, I think, I feel like the world shrunk so much with the internet, and I know so much about a lot of countries that I wanted to go to already, but I really think I want to do safari somewhere in Africa.
Yes,
absolutely. After seeing and hearing from Gretchen, who goes with us to Mexico for Burst Travel, her experience and how close they got to these animals and stuff, that just seemed really, really adrenaline rushing-y.
And tribal villages there love to show their culture. They love to show you how they do everyday life, and it's so fascinating. That would be a good one too on your list. So what is on your list? If you had to pick one place today, we would write you a check. We would pay for the plane ticket there. Where are you going? Because this teacher who has now seen the world is what's trending.
When you go to a restaurant, you ever look across the table at who you're with and think, God, that was really rude? I mean, have you ever done that? Well, whether it's your husband, your mom, your sister, me, whatever. So what do you think is the rudest thing you can do at a restaurant?
Well, anytime I go out with my mother, like nothing is exactly how she would want it. Like the last time we went to Crave, you know, and she does this with her hands like, no. They were going to sit us too close to this or too far away from this, or this booth creaked a little bit. And it's like, I just go with the flow. You know, that's kind of my mantra. And just to watch that happen gives me such anxiety. It's crazy.
My wife would get torn up when we'd go when our kids were little. We had three little kids at the time. And we'd go to a restaurant and they would take us to the booth in the way in the back corner.
Yeah.
Because they were afraid our kids were going to be running around or obnoxious and stuff like that. We'd get pigeonholed for those people all the time. But they're saying now the rudest thing you can do at a restaurant is to let your kids run around.
Absolutely.
I was bothered by it until I had kids, and now I'm like, whatever, I don't care.
There are certain places that I don't care. Like if it's a sports bar, I don't care. If it's like one of those outdoor Zorbas, I don't care. That's fine. Let them run around. But if you're at an Applebee's and they're running around and the waitresses are carrying stuff and they're getting
you
in
really
the way.
That bends you?
I mean, I think it's rude. They're not my kids, so I don't get embarrassed about it. But I would say, like, in my mind, control your gremlins. Absolutely.
I sit there and I just laugh and I'm like, oh, my God. I just think I'm so happy my kids are growing up.
That's where my mind would be. But my kid never did anything like that. We've always brought him out. Like, we weren't like, we're not going
to
bring him out until he's 5 or 6.
Leave him chained up to the radiator when you guys went out to dinner?
Yeah. Like, some parents just go out and enjoy dinner and then don't incorporate their kids into that world. So, therefore, when you do, your kids don't know how to act. Where if you bring them up and teach them, then they do know how to act.
These are the other things that they say are the most rude things you can do at a restaurant. Tell me whether or not you agree.
Okay.
Refuse to pay for the food you ate after you eat some of it and then say it wasn't right.
Yeah.
That's pretty rude, I think. Argue over prices. I mean, have you ever done that?
Like, try to barter like I'm in Tijuana?
Like, you're like, hey, this burger can't be $15. Can I get it for a little less? Have you ever done that?
No.
I can't.
I just don't go out then because prices are... Derek and I went out yesterday. I'm not going to say where we went, but we got two salads, and the price was insanity.
You're $30 in, I bet.
40.
Oh.
40 for two salads. We didn't get anything extra.
Like no
I didn't
meat
get
on
a Bloody
it
Mary.
Like,
yeah.
No chicken or anything?
They were massive salads, but still, I'm like, what in
$4
the hell
worth of lettuce, right?
Is happening?
The other one that gets me and I have done this, and I'm so ashamed of it. But I got caught up in the moment, and I remember once going, like, I snapped my fingers, and I don't know why I did it. My hand went out, and I went,
oh, my God.
And the guys I was with are like, what are you doing? I'm like, well, I want to get her attention. They're like, say her name. That's why they introduced themselves to you at first.
Wow.
So I was like, Amanda, sorry, didn't mean to snap at you, but I caught myself doing that once. They say that's on the top five things of the rudest stuff you can do at a restaurant.
I would have given her the booger to put in your food if you had done that. Oh, my God.
And do you feel bad if your kids start running around? I mean, there's some people that are absolutely oblivious to this.
Yes, I know.
They're like, we're in somebody else's place. Go ahead. Go buck wild.
That's crazy. No, if it's like a Chuck E. Cheese, run around. If it's a... if it's got games and stuff, then you're asking for your, like, if you go to Green Mill or something and they have those claw games, the kids are going to be up and going at those. So
the other one that got me was the people that bring their own food or drink.
Okay.
Like, you're on a special diet. I kind of get that, but then you probably want to.
Then don't go out.
But yeah, I don't want to take that experience away from them either. But like, what food would you bring? I always think back to the comedy skit from, what's his name? Where he's like, my uncle will try and sneak grilled cheeses into the restaurant. He's like, he'll bring his own just in case they don't have grilled cheese.
Yeah.
And so I was thinking, like, what food would you ever bring with you? Like, if you have, like, maybe your special coffee additive that you like, or you're on a really specific diet.
Yeah.
Maybe you bring something. But otherwise, man, aren't you just going there to eat yours?
Are they talking about condiments? Like, I, what your auntie too, would bring, like, in? Like,
you bring in some ranch because you're afraid they might. Oh, right. Yeah. Or some sriracha or something like that.